Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. I'm here with Belinda Hindmarsh. Look at that. She's just as pretty as she can be. And look at that smile. I can never believe that she was not 110% before. But she found Creatrix. I told you that Creatrix is magic. I cannot wait to get in the room with these ladies and really kind of uncover some stuff. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about parenting. We're going to talk about self-worth, how we can really edit and filter and adjust our life, and different experiences. I've had so many transformologists on my show, Belinda, and everyone comes with a different experience. And I'm sure when you walked into the room, you had no idea. I want to know how it impacts your life and what you're pouring into other women and what you want them to know. Because I want these women here in the United States to get a touch of this, okay?
Oh, they need it, honey. They need it.
So tell us a little bit about your story and your journey and how you found Creatrix.
Sure. I have two little people. So my eldest is 11, my youngest is 9. I'm happily married to my beautiful husband and have been for about 20 years. And I've been working in manufacturing for, I'm going to say 15 years. So in an office within a manufacturing industry. And I think initially I went into that sort of space as a result of being overworked and underpaid in hospitality. Because when I left school, it was all about me wanting to help people. That's what I wanted to do. I'm left with this grand plan of must help people. I feel like I need people. Went into hospitality and went, oh my God, I can't do, after 7 years of working ridiculous hours, and which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to, you know, getting paid and in the end, like $4 an hour or something ridiculous if you worked it back to an hourly rate, and the love of the job just wasn't there for me anymore. So I ended up moving on to, I researched a little bit on counselling because, you know, I'm pretty good at listening to people. And then hubby said, look, honey, you're just going to take it on board and that's going to go nowhere. Like you'll end up coming, you'll take on those, whatever you listen to, and then you'll need counselling and blah, blah, blah. So, don't want to do that. So I ended up moving. I got a temp job in a manufacturing industry, job building industry. And then I sort of got stuck there, as you do, and moved a couple of times, locations, but always the same sort of jobs that I would look for because I had experience, right?
Right.
Far from satisfying my beautiful heart, though, the one that wanted to help, go out and help people. Like I was helping people with their
stuff.
But stuff. Not the stuff that matters here. So I think I ended up, I became a Mary Kay consultant for a very long time. I joined
back. And let me pump the brakes right there. Because Mary Kay was revolutionary. She was ahead of her time.
Incredible lady.
I met Mary Kay before she passed away. Yes, here in
beautiful city.
You know what? And she taught a woman how to build a business. She taught her how to put God first, then your family, then yourself and your business. Yeah. Money was no object. She was so philanthropic. That's why she died so rich. Pink Cadillacs and diamonds and trips and all of it, just to show you that she appreciated you. And so I'm glad that you tapped into Mary Kay, because that was a great multi-level marketing. People don't realize that that was an MLM too. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
House, I think that, Avon, yeah.
The thing that was most beautiful to about Mary Kay that I found, as well as the God First, Family Second, Career Third, was that they had, there was the sisterhood that was making sure that you made sure you treated other people how you expected to be treated yourself, and that everyone, like, if you've got an idea and someone else has got an idea and you share those ideas, you each have two ideas. Right. And that's what I loved about it. And I found that again in the Transformology Sisterhood. I think that's
it's a certain psychology, yeah. And you have to have that. I mean, because we're not a one-legged stool. We need support.
Absolutely. So I think I ended up finding Transformology back when the Institute of Women first launched. I had followed Maz because she was part of the Mary Kay world, and always questioned. I didn't do groundbreaking things with Mary Kay. It was always in the background as something that I could do one day, maybe if I got out of my own road and decided to push it, because outside of my friend group, it was all too hard. And I just, my brain space didn't want the rejection, didn't like the rejection. So we just went, you know what, I'm going to play it safe and just sit on the sidelines and order for myself and close friends and family. And that's about the extent of my Mary Kay world, except for the fact that I was there for a very long time. I think I registered in 2002, and in Australia, beginning of COVID, they closed the doors in Australia. So that was the end of my one day maybe if plan. And then I'm like, crap, what do I do now? I don't have a fallback plan. So
right.
I did touch base. I went to the launch of the Institute of Women, where Marilyn Shermer launched the Institute back 9 years ago, almost to the day now. And I went with my 10-week-old bubba in my arms, because I sent a message to her saying, look, I know you don't have children at your events, but I've got a 10-week-old and I need to be able to feed her. And it was a full day event. What were the chances? And she said, look, that's okay. Just sit at the back and listen and you'll be fine. So I did, and it planted a seed. And over the course of the last 9 years, from time to time, I would just was in there going, you know what, it would be interesting to know, like, how I could help other women, and what that would look like for me. And just over time, it never really developed into anything until COVID happened and it slowed down. And I think, and life slowed down in general, and there was a possibility that I wasn't, they were talking about layoffs and stuff at work. It didn't happen, but they spoke about it. And I just went, you know what, I'm sick of dying. I don't want to do this job forever. And I don't like the being pigeonholed into a box of, you know, you've got to come to work at this time, and someone else's rules. And I thought, my mum and dad have owned businesses since I was about 5. So they've always done their own thing and been able to have life with us. And
what has this taught you? What did you find out and what did you discover during your visit with the Women's Institute? What did you uncover that you were struggling with all this time?
I just wanted to be a better person, a better version of me. I know that there's a lot of beliefs and things, emotions that are stuck in my head. I mean, I'm generally speaking not broken, right?
No, and I get it. And that's what I like, because you're coming from a different perspective. A lot of times people seek personal development, psychology, psychiatry, different modalities because they're broken. But if you feel that you just need a tweak or self-discovery, see, that's like me. I didn't want to be that girl in the room. So I hope you're in the room when I'm in the room that says, oh no, you know, but I didn't suffer that trauma growing up. I've never been beat by a man, you know, I'd be in jail because I fight back. But I've never been sexually assaulted. I've been robbed 3 times at gunpoint. That was pretty traumatic. Yeah. But those type of things that have really kind of deep rooted, that could create epigenetics. I say it all the time. Yeah. I can't get it out today. But generational trauma, I really don't think that I have those things, But until you're in this environment with other people sharing their stories, you get that aha moment. You really don't need, you don't think you need to adjust. We all have flaws, you know?
Yeah.
So you got into this and you found the tweak, and then you said, you know what? I'm going to apply this to my children and getting their head right and not negotiating with them anymore. Girl, they was mad at you when you got home. So tell me a little bit about what was going on with your parenting skills that you really were able to apply what you've learned in Creatrix with your kids.
My goodness, I didn't realize that I would end all of my sentences in questions. So it gave, there was no definite answer. There was no definite, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm blank. See, right.
Yeah, both of us are drawing with words. But there was no finality. I mean, just everything was a run-on sentence.
It was a question. So, you know, go on, put your clothes away. But it wasn't put your clothes away. It was go and put your clothes away. Like,
can you go and put your clothes away? Will you put your clothes away? Can I count on you to put your clothes away? Yeah.
I can't even do it now because it's not, the programming in my mind has completely changed. So, I'm able to give them definite instruction now, whereas before it was a question. And I recognize, the biggest thing is just recognizing the back chat and the, after giving them an instruction, they used to,
good, that's okay.
Bear with me, brains. So they used to arc up and say, oh, but I'm doing this or I'm doing that, or, you know, and not I'll get there in a minute, or yes, no problem. And there was always that something else, something else, something else. And then it would be back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Exhausting, right? I just went, no, no more. And now hey, mum said, end of story, go and do it. And it's done. And I go, thanks.
Well, children really want discipline. And what I have found in this previous generation, see, my generation, you followed instructions. You did what you were told. You were a latchkey kid. You'd come home. You'd have your sandwich. You put your backpack down. You might sneak and watch some cartoons for a minute, but you got those chores done. You cleaned up your plate after dinner. You washed your plate. You did your homework. You knew exactly what to do.
Yeah.
Now, everything is a negotiation.
That too.
You know, oh, you don't want to eat your peas. Okay, well, you don't have to eat your peas. You don't have to clean your plate. Oh, you don't feel like cleaning up your room. You don't have to do that right now. The hell you don't. Because without rules, it's chaos.
Yeah.
And you so have to teach the discipline to your children, in my opinion. There's a lot of people out there with this unschooling and unruling, whatever. You need direction because you have to be an independent contributor to society. Mm. And if you don't understand boundaries and other people's rules, you're going to get out there and you are going to be in for a lot of trouble. You're going to be in jail. You're going to be on drugs. You know, and that's not everybody, okay? Because I hear somebody chattering in the background in my head. That's not true. Well, you know what? Statistics show. And how they treat you, and how your son is going to treat a woman, and how your daughter is going to receive the treatment of a man. But partnerships are different now. So what did your husband think about this when you were able to come back and take charge?
I think he's... a massive load has lifted that, you know, there's not the pressure of dad having to do everything now, which is fabulous. And I think as well, he said to me a few months back now, he just can't believe how happy I am now. Like, just it's completely changed. Mental shift is huge. I don't blame work for making me tired and angry anymore or grumpy, because of, like, being at work and being surrounded by my job is very much fix a lot. I go into problem solving and putting out, and I don't I don't dwell on stuff as much at work anymore, and I'm more productive because I take action instead of being indecisive. So it's fabulous. And I used to fix other people's problems instead of instructing them how to fix their own, and then it potentially not being a problem anymore. So it's instead of me constantly being on the groundhog day of fixing it, and it's still remaining a problem because no one's being told. So
were you a people pleaser before? Did you not know how to say no?
Understatement of the century.
Oh my God.
So yes, I am very much a people pleaser. I didn't know how to say no. So you just
was that a part of your childhood? I mean, were you do you have multiple siblings? when you said, you know what, this no longer tastes good. This doesn't lay on my palate very well. You know, I want to find a resolution. Not only do I want to help people, but I want to embed this in who I am for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And you cemented that with Creatrix, and you became a transformologist. What are you pouring into other women yourself? What are you pouring into people that you work with?
I think that initially I took the plunge. I ended up going, yes, you know what, this is guaranteeable. So once it was something that the penny dropped, and I think it's always been a guaranteeable thing, but, you know, 9 years on, 8 years on, because it's been a 12 months since I've been certified. But when I, being able to guarantee a solution for someone and not have them have that come back is just such a powerful and incredible thing to be able to offer. And that is why I decided to jump into Creatrix. I don't think I would have considered it with anything else, because it's not specifically formulated for women's brains. And I know that often people have recurring things come back, and it's not possible with Creatrix. So that's why I chose Creatrix.
Okay. Well, let me ask you some tough questions.
Okay.
Because my brains are going to want to know. They've introduced this, and I've been, you know, talking to some people here about Creatrix and to go in and look at the show.
No, that's fine. I think I've always had a really broad vision of what it is that people are individual. No two people are the same, and that's what makes life and an experience and the world a beautiful place. If everyone was exactly the same, it would be so boring.
Oh my God. Yes.
I don't want everyone to be the same, to be able to fit into a box, and none of us do. And that's what makes life and such a beautiful thing. Like there's not, no two people are the same. So
it's not cookie cutter. So, and that's good to know. So I say that to you, brains, you know, yes, I'm going to bring out the tough questions because that's what I do as an interviewer. And, you know, I don't want to you to invest your heart, your soul, your mind, your psyche into something that you think that is of no hope. I want you to work with people that are open to learning, because she's going to learn from you just like you learned from her. You know, it's goes full circle. So that's good. So now that we've got through the heavy stuff, let's talk about some fun stuff. What are three things that Belinda cannot live without?
Running, hugs, and green curry.
Green curry?
Yep.
I never had that. Is that Japanese? Is that Australian? Where do you get green curry?
Thai.
Oh, it's Thai. Is it spicy?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Good. Get in my belly.
All right. Yeah, so that you can go use the restroom, your sister sitting outside. That is crazy. That is crazy. What would you tell a 25-year-old Belinda?
I would tell a 25-year-old Belinda to not grow up. I think the biggest thing that I've learned in the last 12 months is to slow down and to enjoy the journey and don't lose the fun. Remember, how much fun it is to be fun and not have the pressure of should. Should is an evil word.
Mm-hmm. Right. What brings you the greatest joy? I don't want to hear about your kids and your husband. What brings you the greatest joy?
When I do something hard that I've worked towards.
Mm. So when you've accomplished a goal?
Yeah. So one of the hardest things I've ever done was I did Oxfam, a 100K trail event.
Oh, wow.
Running, walking with a group of, like, there were four of us in our team, and we did it in just under 24 hours, which was pretty amazing. And I think our goal time was 28 hours, and we smashed it. But towards the end, I was hallucinating.
Oh, wow.
You know, seeing water tanks where there weren't any water tanks, and I could barely walk, my cramping up everywhere. It was.
I went to the Grand Canyon a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they asked me, they said, well, are you going to take the helicopter or are you going to take the donkey down? I was like, neither. I am going to take the motor coach and look at it from an aerial view with a cocktail. So when you say that, it reminds me of looking down and seeing people down there really hiking that trail. And that does take a lot of courage. That does. What else is on your bucket list? Exactly. What else is on your bucket list? What else do you want to do?
Oh gosh, so many things. I've got lots of running events that I'd like to do. What else is on my travel? Restricted at the moment. I'd like to go around Australia because I haven't done that yet. So many places that I'd like to travel.
Well, you can come to, and I'll watch you. I'll hold the water for you if you come through the Grand Canyon. Some friends of mine ran across the Grand Canyon, and it's an really amazing thing. But it's really, you have to be a daredevil. There's only one thing that I want to do. I want to parasail off the cliffs here in San Diego. But I don't need to come out of the airplane. I need to do a tandem with somebody that's going to drive it. I just need to fly it. So those are fun things. What are you afraid of? Is there anything that you're afraid of anymore?
Well, I was afraid of my children seeing life through my perceptions. And that's the biggest thing of why I decided to get a better headspace around and do Creatrix in the end, because there were things coming up now that they're 11 and 9, you know, it's bigger life stuff that is
It's puberty, it's peer pressure, it's, you know, drugs, it's the internet, it's TikTok, it's all that craziness.
I just found that I wasn't sticking up for myself or them as much as what I should as a parent. And I think, like you, I would tend to back down if ever there was confrontation or anything like that. And I knew that was something that was within me that I needed to fix. So I'm eternally grateful that that's no longer a problem. But now, what am I afraid of? Spiders. And snakes. I don't like snakes.
I like to watch I like to see them go at it. I do. I love that.
So, it freaked me out this one time. I was doing some gardening and there was a dirty great, like I'm talking 2 meter long snakes from one of our trees out the back, and I didn't touch that corner of the yard for the next week.
Exactly. But fear is your gauge. Fear is an emotion and a feeling that warns us.
It is.
That puts up our boundaries. So I'm glad that you are still able to deal with that. It's great to be fearless, but you got to be careful with that, because you could run into a pitfall and think that everything's going to be hunky-dory and somebody snatched the rug from up under you. So you have to watch that too. What are you pouring into your daughter about being strong and being not being a people pleaser at a young age? What are you saying to her?
Oh my goodness. She actually has just come off my eldest has just come off the back of, she's finished G6, which is primary school here in Australia. And she was a school captain, and she also got nominated. I'm gonna cry because this is amazing. She was nominated as the she got the leadership award, which is huge. Here I am. I'm such a silk. But I'm an incredibly proud parent. And I'm not afraid of that anymore. That's something that used to break me up a lot, was showing emotion publicly. So here I am. This is me. So
the tears of joy. Tears of joy, because you've worked at it.
Pride.
And then you see, you know, the fruit of her labor, the fruit of your labor. And it wasn't just labor pains.
She's worked so hard for it. She's such a supportive, incredible little lady. And I see her sister doing the same. I don't want to pressure her to, like, in any way, but I know that she's got within her the exact same capability, because they've got some really good role models at school as well, which is beautiful. But it's nice, you know, that they're able to get out and do it. I think running a lot, actually, running's really good for get the motivation to get out of your own road and to just,
unless you got some 40 D's, then it's a nightmare. You know, you feel like you're dribbling two basketballs as you're running.
You end up with black eyes. I don't know. Anyway,
no, running is that's not my thing. Now I do a mean power walk. I'll walk with you. Like I said, there's just certain things that people like, but we know choices. We know options. And thank you so much for being open and vulnerable, handling the tough questions, because it is different. This is, you know, something that people are looking to explore. This is something that people say is like magic. They absolutely adore Maz Maria and Bree. You know, what you're doing, the sacrifice that you're making, is heavy lifting. It's heavy lifting. It's like one of those cranes that's in the, you know, in the office that you work in. Being a parent, it's going to change. Even now, I mean, they're set in their ways. I got one that's 34, you know, and I just had to get in her face about coming over here thinking it's the grocery store. You know, I go grocery shopping, she goes grocery shopping. They never go away. But you love them and you nurture them and you learn so much from them. And I'm so glad that you were brave enough to do the work and that you saw that there was a void and you colored in the white space. You are amazing. Tell my guests and my brains how to get in contact with you, Belinda, so they can work with you. And again, like I said, everything doesn't have to be so heavy. I mean, you don't have to be the person that had some catastrophic, traumatic incident to still be able to make corrective action, because none of us are perfect.
No, we're not. And that's something that I learned recently too. I think in my quest for perfection, it was definitely something that I saw shining in my kids all the time, their need to be right. And that was like a slap in the face when I discovered that it was my need to be right and be perfect that I was seeing in them. So by me fixing me, I'm going to be able to adjust and allow them to not have that expectation of themselves. So you can find me on Facebook more often than not, just Belinda Hindmarsh. I've also got my business page, which is Transform with Belinda Hindmarsh. I'm also on Insta, but I don't do too much there. If it posts in Insta as a result of Facebook, then that's where you'll see me. What else? I'm in LinkedIn, all the places.
All the places. And she's here on the Edge Brains. You see the address. I want you to be right there with us. I want you to love, like, subscribe, share this interview. Go in, do your homework, do some self-evaluation, check your pulse, make sure that everything is running good, because you're running a race, and a race called life. Thank you so much, Belinda.
Thank you. Thank you, Brains.
All right. You're a rock star.